Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studios with another Watchman video broadcast. We're still continuing our series on the body, the temple of God, and we're dealing with this and this. This is a book. This is a book. God wrote both of them. Let's go to our key text. It's in Psalm 139. And remember, everything that we know about DNA probably goes back about 60 years, 50, 60 years. In the 1950s, Watson and Crick, they won the Nobel Prize for discovering the double helix of DNA. Practically everything that we know from that point forward, we've learned since then. But here's the thing. And let me add to this before I read the verse. The scientists now, who have been studying DNA ever since the 50s, they understand that this book is not just a splashing of letters and molecules that are random and they don't have any purpose and it took them forever to figure it out. What they found out was is that they can actually read these little connections here, the base pairs. They can actually read it just like you and I sit down and read our Bible. If you have a favorite verse, some say, well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That may be your favorite verse, all right? You can read that verse and you know where it is. A lot of the scientists now that deal with DNA, they pretty much know exactly where to look when it comes to finding certain genes that do certain things. They don't have it, the whole thing understood, but they can read it because it is arranged with the combinations of these base pairs. It is arranged just like a book, just like the Psalm 139 that I have open here in my Bible. It has the beginning and it has an ending, and it's very clear. The printing of my Bible says Psalm 139, and then it begins with the verses 24, and then it begins Psalm 140. So I know that Psalm 139 starts here and that it ends here. And we can just move on. I think it was the Apostle Paul that referenced what he specifically said was the second psalm. And he was quoting from Psalm 2. So it was apparent to Paul that those divisions were there. It's just like reading a book or a magazine. There's this section, there's that section, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. When they started analyzing DNA and they started breaking down its code, how it was written, they found what they now call a stop and a start codon. What that means, codon is just another word for code, like a codex, like a book, all right? In other words, a codon would be a letter or some sort of marker made by the various combinations of these base pairs. In the case of a start and stop codon, they know that a certain combination of these base pairs ends the previous combinations that form a gene, and the genes make the proteins make the body. So they know by way of a stop codon that this gene segment is done, and a start codon tells it that a new gene sequence has started here. So essentially, the whole thing with the gene sequence, the stop codon, the start codon, and then another gene sequence, that's basically the same thing that you have in your Bible. You have a stop codon. It's the end of a chapter. A start codon, Psalm 140, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Then it ends in verse 13. Then you would have a stop codon that tells you that that chapter is over with. And the next chapter starts when the pastor gets up in front of the congregation. Everybody, please turn your Bible to Psalm 131. Because our Bibles are printed the way they are, we can turn, we flip through here, we find Psalm, we find Psalm 130, and we know where it starts and ends. And that's what they saw in DNA, is that the genes don't just smash into one another. There's actually a little sequence of these base pairs that tells the RNA polymerase, I'll maybe explain that again a little bit, tells the RNA polymerase, which is the part of your body that reads the DNA, tells it that one gene has stopped and another gene sequence has started. Just like a Bible. Just like a book. So the question you have to ask in your mind, and to me this is simple because I live by faith, and yet when I see things like this, I know that my faith has substance. I know that I'm believing in something real. To me, this is easy to say that I know for a fact that somebody wasn't walking out in a field somewhere, tripped over something, and reached down and pulled out of the earth a King James Bible. And that no one had printed it, no one had put it together. It evolved that way. See, I wouldn't believe that. So they come along and they say, you see this book here? It's the most complex thing in nature. This DNA segment here. The most complex thing in nature. It wrote itself. Nature wrote it. Unseen forces. Accidents happened. Accidents formed the genetic codes of our DNA book. All right? That's what they want you to believe. Genetic accidents, billions and billions of years, and multitudes of happenstance formed these three base pairs into a codon, made one part of an amino acid, and then these three joined together to make another amino acid, and all of a sudden these things form life. They want you to believe that this book wrote itself. And it didn't. It actually bears the author's signature on it. It is his book. Let's look at the scriptures. Psalm 139. Let's see here. Let's go back to verse 14 because I like that. I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You see, the more I read the Bible, I don't doubt it more. I believe it more and more every day. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The womb is basically a picture of the lower part of the earth. When a child is born, it rises up out of the sea of that amniotic fluid. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all my members, my nose member, my ears member, my finger members, my eyeball members, all my members were written. Because there's not anything in my body that is formed where the instructions did not come from DNA. It all comes from this DNA book. In thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Believe it or not, I just came back from vacation, and we were in three different countries, Roatan, Honduras, it's an island, and Belize, and then Cozumel, Mexico. And guess what I saw? I saw a guy wearing sandals, and just something about his foot caught my eye. He had like his little toe, and it seemed to be like, it just caught my attention because it just kind of seemed to be sticking out there. You know, something just grabs your attention. And I'm going, well, that's a funny looking little toe he's got there. It's kind of sticking out all on its own and kind of curled a little bit, and it was kind of separated from the other toes. And what I was going to say was, it's kind of separated from the other four toes. It wasn't. That little pinky toe that he had sticking out from the rest of them was actually separated from the other five toes. Yes, this guy, I'm not making this up. This guy had six toes on that foot. I don't know about the other one. He was walking past, but I know he had six toes on that foot. Okay, now I'm not getting into, you know, he's a giant, you know, because Goliath's brother had six toes. What I'm saying is something in this man's book, unusual from you and I, but something in this man's book was written slightly different, and instead of him forming five toes, he formed six. All right? You know, that happens. There's people that have been born with six, seven, eight different digits on their hand or their feet, and I don't necessarily think, oh, he must come from the giants, okay? But I'm just using that illustration to let you know that if it's in your body, it's in this book. And if it's in your body, it has to be in this book. And if you have something It came from this book. Didn't come from any other source. It came from this book. This book is where the members of our body were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And again, that describes the moment you were conceived. You didn't have the fingers, the nose, you didn't have the ears, you didn't have the beating heart. But the instructions for that were already encoded in your genetic book, in your DNA that God wrote. And so the idea is, whether it's this book or this book, it's the book that God wrote. And especially when it comes to this book, you can make all of the illustrations exactly the same. If you're going to talk about DNA and how it encodes and works to make the members of your particular body, the same principle applies. And this is what makes me so happy talking about this. The same principle applies when it comes to the members of the body of Jesus Christ, His visible church on this earth. Every member of Christ's kingdom was written and formed by the book. We are people of the book, of the Word of God. We believe that God wrote this book. We believe that God wrote this book. And without this book was not anything made that was made. All right? Look at it like this, because we're going to sort of get into how this DNA makes new members of the body, how cells are formed, and how a copy of the DNA goes from an old cell to a new cell. We're going to see how that works, because we're going to see the process of evangelism. How is it? I've been in this church since 1974. I was a product of this church. The work and the labor and the preaching that was done from the pulpit of this church brought me in as a member of the body of Christ, even though when this church first formed, I wasn't even here. When the origins of this church, when people first started gathering together, it was all the way back in the late 50s. I wasn't even born yet. And yet God had it purposed that at such and such a time and in such and such a way, the preaching of this book was going to bring me as a member of the body of Jesus Christ in this local congregation. All right. So if it works this way, it works the same way here. Let's take a look at this graphic. In thy book, you see, we have a picture of the Bible. All my members were written. You see all these wonderful church people from Kenya. I've met with Christians in Mexico and in other places. And man, I they're God's people. All my members were written. Remember, in order to be in the church, in the body, your name must be written where? In the book of life, which in continuance was fashioned, because there are still people being saved. There are still members being added to the body. And how are those members added? By the book. Just like in your body, there's not anything in your body that wasn't coded by this book. Likewise. Now, there are people who are members of a church, some of which haven't attended that church in 20, 30, 40 years and won't. There are members of local churches that are not saved. They're not born again. They do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And they have not a regard and a love and a faith and a trust for the Word of God. Though they be an official member of a local church building or a church group, they're not members of the body of Jesus Christ. If they are in the body of Christ, it was the book that put them there, which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And I believe the Bible. I don't understand everything about it, but I believe the Bible. The Bible tells us that we were foreordained, or God foreknew us before the foundation of the world. It's like we were already written in His book before God even created the heaven and the earth. I mean, that's kind of wacky, but think about it. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, the things that grew out of that group of cells were not formed when on the day that you were conceived in that womb, when those DNA bits all came together to make what would be you, but the encoding was already there, written out. And eventually you formed five fingers on this hand, five on this hand. You formed eyes, ears, a nose, a mouth, a tongue, teeth, heart, bones, liver, kidneys. You formed all those things when you didn't have them. There are still people being saved. There are still people being added to the body of Jesus Christ. And all of them have come by way of this book. Now, Genesis chapter 5, we see an example of that. Here's how the Bible is going to give you a book of generations. I want you to notice this. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Notice the word generations has the word gene in it. So it doesn't matter if it's this book or this book. It forms members of the body. And so Adam had in his loins the book. Because after Adam came Seth. Seth came out of the loins of Adam. And after Seth came Enos, his son. He came out of the loins of Seth, who came out of the loins of Adam. In other words, this book is being passed down from generation to generation. And Genesis 5 is the book of the generations. It gives the genealogy. It shows you all the way down to Noah, to Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that they were the offspring of Adam, Adam having given them his DNA book. So this is the book of the generations of Adam, the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Notice what's been pointed out here. Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image. So I mentioned that when you were conceived, this book was written out of you. And it had written in it, he's going to have five fingers, he's going to have five toes, going to have a nose with two nostrils, it's going to be flat, or maybe, no, we'll make it pointed out like that or whatever. But all the members of your body were already written out there, and then they formed. And then think about this. Not only were the members of your body written out in this book, but the members of the body of your children were also written out in this book, so that your children were made in the likeness and the image of you and your wife, or you and your husband. Okay? This is so cool. Because let me explain this. This is Evangelism 101. Man goes into a place like Paul. Paul goes into a city like Corinth. He's going to establish a church. He begins preaching the word. What's going on here? The word is going out, it's drawing in people, they are saved, and so now members of the body are being built and added. How? By the book. Paul establishes that church and their doctrine, and members are coming in. Members coming in, Paul leaves, let's say Timothy takes over, and he's the bishop now, and he sends everybody out telling them, take portions of scripture with you and go out and make disciples and bring them in. So these people go out. They're passing out leaflets and tracts. They're giving the gospel out to people. They're explaining it to them. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They're reading them scripture like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. These people also believe, and they come in and are part of the same body and were made of the same book, so that they are in the likeness and the image of those who brought them in. And just think about it, okay? There are lots of Christians on this earth. And we don't all see eye to eye on everything, do we? We don't all agree as to every tiny little thing in the Bible. But that doesn't mean because somebody doesn't agree with me about, oh, I don't know, something a little small and insignificant. Somebody doesn't agree with me on this or that issue. That doesn't mean that they're not saved and they can't go to heaven because they don't abide by my terms and my standards and whatever. It just means that God made them a little different. The Baptists, when they go out and they bring people in, they're making Baptists. The Assemblies of God, when they go out and they bring people in, they're making Assemblies of God. I mean, that's just how it works. They're making people after their likeness and after their image. All right? And the key is, and you know how I stand on the Bible translation issue, the key is, if all of these people are in fact made in the likeness and in the image of God Himself, who is their Father, they possess His seed, which is the incorruptible Word of God. Though we be different, though we don't really see eye to eye on everything, yet we all have the same Father whose seed, whose generation we are, made in His likeness and in His image. Oh, I love this. I love it. That's how people are saved. We give them the Word of God. They're brought in. Now, they're a member of the body just like we are. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the process of how this DNA is divided and a copy made and put into the new cell. And we kind of started on that the last time we did this, but just kind of let me illustrate it like this. You see the DNA as it is right now, this double helix model, and it's called a helix because it's kind of rolled up like a scroll. Now think about it. There's a lot of people in America have a Bible in their house. Most of those Bibles look exactly like this one in that they're closed. And when the Bible's closed, it can't do what it wants to do. It can't do what it was purposed to do. It can't do what it was designed to do, what God sent it forth to do. When it's closed, it's not accomplishing anything. Just having a Bible in your house does not protect you from vampires and ghosts and witches, and it's because it's closed. You can't go to somebody and say, "Here's a Bible. You should be saved today." "Oh, I think I'll be saved today." Doesn't work that way. We give them portions of the Bible to bring them in because we believe that the Word of God is what brings them in and makes them believers. That's what we believe. But as long as this Bible's closed, it can't do anything. Same way, when DNA in this helix form, when it's twisted or crooked like this, basically, essentially, it's closed. All right? It's a closed book. It's sealed together. There's actually bonds that hold all of this together. It's sealed up and it's closed. And while it's closed, it doesn't do a thing. It doesn't do a thing. In order for, let's say your body needs a few proteins. Okay, you're getting low on a few things in your body and your body needs some. All right. Well, the way it works is this little machine called RNA polymerase goes through, and I haven't got this far yet with it. We will. But RNA polymerase goes through and takes portions of the book, opens it up, copies a piece of it, sends that out to be read and then translated and turned into a protein. But as long as this DNA is rolled up like a scroll, it's closed and it accomplishes nothing. Now, let me be a preacher here for a minute instead of a scientist. I'm a weird scientist at that. Likewise, there are things that we as Christians need. Things that our soul needs to get along, to grow, to live, to prosper, to be in health as far as our soul and spirit is concerned. Well, the place where that's done is the Bible. And just having a Bible in your hand doesn't cut it. You need to open it and read it. And let the Holy Spirit do in you through those words what needs to be done. Similar thing, if your body needs insulin, which controls sugar in your blood, opens up the cells so sugar can go in your cells, be burned as food, we covered that. It gets it from the DNA. And if the DNA remains closed, you're not making insulin, you'll die. you'll die. You'll go into a coma. Your blood sugar gets so high, it'll burn your brain out or something like that, and you'll die. As long as this book is closed, people, you're not getting what you need to live. That's what the preacher is telling you. And now, hope it makes sense in a better way, because as God does it here, God does it here. And as God does it here, it's the same here, because He wrote both books and they're exactly the same. So, first thing that needs to be done, the book needs to be copied. Let's say that there's a new cell. The old cell's kind of dying off and a new cell comes in. Think of Adam. Adam was already 130 years old when he had Seth. Now, for our day, that's pretty old. Of course, Adam lived 930 years, right? But anyway, Adam's not getting any younger. And Cain has been exiled. Abel's dead. He's got to make another son. And so he reproduces. And now Seth is the son born in his image and his likeness, so that if Adam dies, and he will, and he did, his bloodline, his book, continues on going. John, Matthew, Peter, Paul, all these guys in the Bible, New Testament, they're all dead. And yet, the Word of God continues on. How? We make new disciples, just like new cells, new pastors coming in. And the old generation, and this is something God dealt with me about, the old generation hands down the Word of God to a new generation and says, be faithful and true to this book always and preach it so that people can be saved. I have a heritage of men who entrusted me and gave me the Word of God and said, Mike, preach it. And one day I started taking that seriously. And so now my job is to teach and to give people the Bible, bring souls into the kingdom, whether we do it here at Bethel or we do it over the internet. Doesn't matter how it's done. Our job is to bring those disciples in, give them this book, make them custodians of this, so that when I die, the work continues on far after my life is over with. And that's how it works. It's the same way with your cell. You've got a cell in your body right now that is on its way out. It's going to die. So it needs to make a copy of itself, so that when it dies, life in the body carries on. All right? So this is what we're going to look into today, probably next week. I'm going to take our time doing it so that you can understand it, so that you'll marvel. I mean, a lot of you already know about soul winning and witnessing to people and giving them scripture. And people come to you and say, man, I'm having trouble. My husband's this, my wife's this, and my kids, I don't know. And you give them scripture. And all of a sudden they're responding to that. And boy, they want more of it. See how it works? A lot of you already know how that works. We're going to see that it follows this exactly. All right? Something for you to do. And this is what I do. Get a copy of the Pure Bible Search software. PureBibleSearch.com. Download it. Free. Absolutely free. No strings attached whatsoever. We're not going to hound you for money. Download and install it. Windows, Linux, Mac. Put it on your computer. Type in the word book or books. And do your own study of this and see the correlation between DNA and this Bible and how it works. Let me give you an example. Revelation chapter 5. John was in heaven and he said, I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, I want you to notice the picture there. It's showing you a picture of the DNA double helix. You have the what's called the nucleotides, which is, I usually call them the base pairs. Those are the things that lock the two sides of the DNA, the two rungs of the ladder, as it were. They're the ones that are joined together in the middle. And there's four of them, think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that's what joins the Old Testament with the New Testament, the four Gospels, and Jesus Christ being in all four of those books. So think of the Word of God. Think about it. It's not the rungs of the ladder of DNA that make the genes. It's the combination of the four base pairs that make the genes, that give life. And Jesus is in those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus is the Word of God that is represented by those four base pairs. Okay? Man, I love talking about this. All right? So anyway, you have the nucleotides or base pairs. You have the sugar phosphate backbone. They're joined together by hydrogen bonds. I'll try to explain that in a little bit. But I want you to notice something. Okay? Because it says, when John said he saw the book, it was rolled up, and it was written on both sides. The front. And so, like, if you just have a scroll and you write on one side, when you roll it up, you can't see anything on it. Well, John said it wasn't like that. It was written on the front, and then it was written on the back. So then when it's rolled up, he can see the letters on there. Watch this. DNA. It's a book. Rolled up like a scroll. And if I were to turn it this way, let's say that this right here is the front. Okay? This right here is the front. Well, it's twisting around so that the front now is down here as well. And if it twists around and this is the back, notice that you can see the base pairs, whether you're looking at it from this direction or this direction. It's rolled up just like a scroll. And it's written within and on the back, and it's sealed with seven seals. It's sealed together, hydrogen bonds, it's electrostatic. I may get into that today. But they're joined together perfectly by these bonds, just like the book in God's right hand sealed with seven seals. Now, the purpose, I'm going to run through this very quickly. The purpose of sealing something like a book. We still use seals to this day, all right? Official documents bear maybe a watermark or a crimp of some kind or some sort of glue-on or paste-on seal, or sometimes really fancy documents have a wax seal on there. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of a seal in relation to the book that God wrote here, the Bible, and the book of DNA? Let's go through the scriptures. Number one, sealed to show authority or that its contents are authorized. 1 Kings 21:8. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. Let me stop right here. Now, this is an illustration of bad people, Jezebel and Ahab. But Jezebel knew the rules. She knew how things work. If you're going to have authority, if she was going to have Naboth killed, it had to look like it came from the king, Ahab. So she wrote letters in his name, sealed them with his seal. So anytime you see a sealed book, which is what DNA is, it's a sealed book, it's bonded together, the two sides are joined together and they are sealed and rolled up. Whenever you see a sealed book, you know that there is authority behind it. This book is sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, just like we are. So is this book sealed. It shows and it bears the authority of Almighty God. Esther chapter 8, verse 8. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Okay? Did you know that this book, let's say that this is human DNA. Did you know that there's not anything in my body that looks at this book and says, you know what, we're tired of being a human. Let's be a raccoon. Doesn't do that. This book has been encoded in a certain way by its author. And it bears his authority. And the king says, King Jesus says, this is how I want your body to be. And since it bears the seal of the king, no man may change it. Now let me unhook this just for a minute. I'm going to show you the importance of this and why I think God wants people to know this stuff right now. Because we live in this information age, and everything that we find out about our universe, to me, basically just affirms that the Bible's right. If this is a book that the king wrote, and he did, And these bonds represent the fact that it was sealed by the king himself, and it bears the king's seal. Who has the authority to do anything else with this book other than what is written in here? Nobody. Nobody. Let me give you a little bit of history lesson on this Bible, the King James Bible. You may have heard it said that the King James is the only Bible that doesn't have a copyright on it. That's half true, all right? In the United Kingdom, Great Britain and their territories, when King James authorized this book to be translated, that's why we call it the King James Version. He authorized it. He authorized its translation. He approved of the final product. And then he authorized it to be read in all of the churches. Because in England, the king is the head of the Church of England. So he authorized it to be read. And he put it under what's called a Royal Letters Patent. And it's sort of like a copyright in England. Once it was established that it was as part of the royal letters and patented as such, that means that as long as there is a monarch on the throne in England, no one has the right to alter the contents of this book. I was told by a friend years ago, man that lived in England, and he loved the King James Bible. And he was so, he would talk to me and he would weep the emotions. I just love the Word of God. He was from Nottingham, England. I just loved talking to him. But he said, Mike, here's what happened. A few years ago, the Sodomites in England, they sued Cambridge and Oxford University. Cambridge and Oxford are the two universities that administer the rights to copy the authorized Bible, the King's Bible. They sued Oxford and Cambridge because they didn't like the word sodomite. Said it made them look bad. Okay. Now, I kind of think that them walking around half naked in a gay pride parade makes them look bad, but, you know, that's just me. So they sued. They said, we want sodomite taken out of the Bible. You know what the courts ruled? You know, these in England, they still wear wigs. The judges, they all wear wigs. You know what those wigged kings those wigged judges said? The King's Bible is under a royal letters patent, which means that its contents cannot be altered but by the king or the queen, him or herself. That means it's sealed so that no one can change it. You've heard me talk about CRISPR editing systems, C-R-I-S-P-R, gene editing, DNA editing. You know what they do? They use a bacteria to go into a DNA strand, unseal the book, take parts of it out, and then glue it back together again. And whatever they took out, they just throw it away. Maybe when they take something out, they want to put something else in it. Let me tell you something. This book is sealed. And God Himself sealed it. And what that means is nobody on this earth has the right to go in, unseal the book, and change the words that are in it. No one does, because it bears the king's authority. I'll just give you something to think about. So it's sealed to show authority. This is God's book. Number two, it's sealed to preserve its contents. Tupperware, right? Tupperware. You put the leftovers from supper in a Tupperware dish, put the lid on it, and you squeeze the air out of it. Seals it up, locks it tight. That leftovers are sealed so that no spoilage gets into it. It's preserving the contents of what's in there. Look at your Bible, Isaiah 8:16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Do you know why? If you are like me and you believe this book, God brought you to a place where you said, you know what? There's one Bible for me. It's King James Bible. You know what God did? He called you in this age, in an age where there's so much corruption of the Word of God. God called you in this age to be someone that He's going to seal the law, the book up in your heart. And you're going to stand and say, no one is changing my Bible. No one is. What an awesome thing that God, the God of the entire universe, who could have picked anybody in this world, God reached down into a sewer pit, pulled you out of it, cleaned you up, washed your sins away, gave you His book, and said, this thing is sealed now in your hearts. No one can change it. And you say, yes, Lord. As long as I live with my last breath, I will not allow God's Word to be altered in any way. I will preserve its contents. Jeremiah 32:14. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidence, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. He was referring to a book of the purchase of a land grant. Jeremiah bought some land from his cousin. He had the right to redeem it. And they wrote out the landmarks in two books, one sealed, one open. And they took both books and put them in an earthen vessel. Do you know who the earthen vessel is? It's you and me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What were we made of? Earth, dirt. And look at this. Look at this. You know what I think? I think that practically everybody on the planet at some point in the, let's say, near future. When I say near future, let's say 150 years on down. Okay? Not 1,000 years, but let's say 100 years from now. That practically everybody on this planet is going to have their DNA altered. Except those of us whom God has called, whom He has taken His peculiar treasure, His Word, the evidence, the books, sealed and unsealed. He has taken these and He has hidden them in earthen vessels. What an awesome responsibility. Because remember, they want to change this book because they don't like what it says. And they want to change this book because they don't like what it says. Okay? Look at this. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You see, because another thing about sealing is that you're preserving the contents, but you're not just preserving them for an endless time. You're holding them for a specific time. It's sort of like a lawyer. A man has an estate. He's got, you know, some money. And when he dies, he wants to direct where he wants everything to go. So he writes it up in a book. It's called a testament. Okay? Anyway, writes it all up. The lawyer writes it all up. He signs it. The lawyer keeps it. The lawyer is the trustee. And when the guy dies, the family gathers around. The lawyer pulls it out, opens it up. And now the desires and the wishes of the man can be distributed out. And the book of their things in the book of Daniel that are sealed up. But they're not sealed up forever. At some point, Jesus is going to come. Like in Revelation 5, He's going to take the book. What's He going to do? He's going to unseal it. Did you know your DNA works exactly that same way? You remember now, you remember when you were, oh, let's say, you know, you were like 12, 13, 14 years old. Remember those days? Okay. You're not a kid anymore, are you? Your body's changing. Okay. And I'm not going to, you know, get into that, but your body goes through that change, 12, 13, 14. Women, they get to 40, 45, 50, 60 years old, and all of a sudden, they're not able to have children anymore. Why? There's been a change. There's been something that's been held in the DNA in my DNA, when I was 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years old, 11, whatever, there was things in there that hadn't shown up yet. I started getting 12, 13 years old, and I started looking at that hair coming out of my lip, and I'm going, where did that come from? Did you know that that was sealed up in my DNA, but it wasn't sealed forever? It was waiting for a specific time so that it could be opened up and be manifested. And I love this stuff. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, now, let me illustrate this way, okay? I miss my dad. My dad passed away in 2011, and I miss him. And I see in me things that I saw in my dad, okay? But they weren't showing up when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, okay? When I was in sixth grade, let's say 12 years old, I actually auditioned for and got a part in one of these boys' choirs, you know, at that age where boys can sing real high. Okay? And I could. And I had a good ear, and I sang for our local community college. They were doing St. Matthew's Passion from Bach, and it calls for an antiphonal boys' choir. And I auditioned and got to sing in that choir for the big college. That's a big deal for me, man. That was like my first singing gig, all right? But see, in sixth grade, I still had that boyish high voice. When I hit seventh grade, I dropped down into the basement. And you know what? I, for all intents and purposes, I have my dad's deep bass voice. You see, what happened was I inherited it from my father. He wrote it down in his book and he gave it to me. Now he has gone off the scene and I have his low bass voice. So at a certain time, in such and such a day, the things that I inherited from my father now are being manifested. Isn't that great? That's what having things sealed in your Bible and in books is all about. It's about sealing them for a specific time. Notice Deuteronomy 32:34. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Ephesians 4:30, again, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Daniel chapter 9, we have these 70 weeks. And we know that they are prophetic, and God has these promises ready for Israel. He's going to finish their transgressions. He's going to forgive their sins. He hasn't done it yet, though, has he? It's for a specific time. And when that time happens, this book, though sealed, becomes unsealed. And I want you to think about this. Can man unseal the things that are in this book and cause them to happen? No. Because if you read Revelation 5, that book that God has in His right hand, they go call out through heaven and earth looking for someone who has the authority to unseal that book. And they search and they find the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He and He alone is authorized to unseal the book and to let its contents out. There has been numerous attempts by Jews throughout the ages to establish the kingdom of God. And all of them has failed. It's not time yet. It will be at such and such a time. These things are in the book. They're sealed and they are preserved for a specific time. So, in the case of DNA, it's sealed. We see that it's sealed to preserve it. It's sealed to show its authority. It's sealed to until a specified time. And I mentioned, and I'm going to use a phrase and I'm going to teach you what it means. DNA expression. All right? Think of an artist. Okay? Think of someone who draws. Think of Bob Ross. You know Bob? Oh, we're going to make some happy little seagulls here. Yes. And, oh, they're flying over the happy waves. Bob Ross, right? So Bob Ross has an image in his mind. Now, he can do, I can't draw. Bob Ross has this image in his mind. He's got a blank canvas. What he wants to do is express for you the image that he has in mind. How does he do it? He takes, a little white. Let's mix in a little yellow ochre here. Let's have some red, okay? Alizarin crimson. Let's put that in there. Oh, yeah, maybe a little blue. Splash that together, yes. Let's just make these happy little lines here. And what he's doing, he's taking the different paints that he has with the skill that he has, and he is expressing the pattern that's in his mind. Do you understand that? So when I say gene expression, DNA expression, think about what it means. Coded in your DNA is more fingernail material. The pattern for making the material that makes your fingernails is encoded in the book. And remember what I said, as long as this book is closed, it doesn't matter how much is in here and what good it'll do. As long as it's closed, it won't work. It won't accomplish what it's been set forth to do. That book has to be opened up so that the fingernail material that needs to be made can be made. That's what's called gene expression. I'm going to show you an example of that in your Bible. I'm going to show you what it looks like. All right? Because remember, how it works here is how it works here. Okay? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days. He had been tempted. He run the devil off with the word of God, and angels come down and minister to him. Then he comes into his hometown, Nazareth. He goes into the synagogue, and it was a custom that when he would go into the synagogue, at times, he would be given the book, the scroll. And so Jesus goes into the synagogue. They hand him the scroll. And look at what the Bible says. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet. Now think book. When you think book, you think Bible, you think DNA. The book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Stop right here. Esaias. Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Your Bible has 66 books. You're seeing a little picture of a much bigger picture. And what you're seeing here is you're seeing Jesus at his first coming opening up a portion of the DNA book. He's not going to read all 66 chapters of Isaiah. He's only going to read a small portion of Isaiah. That's what Jesus did at his first coming. Look at what he does at his second coming. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And then verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. By the way, I like counting things. Every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When Jesus is, and he's the only one authorized to open this book. Have you ever been like in a museum or some big place, and you're walking through it, and there's always a section where they've got it roped off, and they say, no admittance here. You can't go in here. Are you like me? You ever wanted to go back in there, okay, and see what it is that they don't want you to see? I mean, that's me, okay? If I'm someplace and I see doors closed and it says authorized admittance only, you can't come in here, I'm going, why can't I go in there? I wonder what's back there. I mean, that's just me, right? Okay? There's things in this book that haven't been revealed yet. They haven't been expressed yet. They're here. They have not come to fulfillment yet. That's what gene expression is. Jesus is the only one authorized to go in here and open these seals and then to start fulfilling the things that are written in this book. He's the only one authorized. So when the scientists at Monsanto and other biotech corporations take DNA of plants, animals, paramecium, bugs, humans, I don't care what it is, when they take the DNA of all of these various creatures on the planet and they break those seals and they get in there and take stuff out that shouldn't be taken out and put stuff in that shouldn't be in, they're not authorized to do that. According to Revelation 22, they're going to pay a price for that. Genetic modification is the biggest thing on the planet right now. And God said, only my son can open these books and loose these seals, not you. Okay? I mean, this, I think we're at this time right now learning these things, because these things are going to come to pass, I think, right in front of our very eyes. So anyway, so here we have Jesus. Jesus is the only one who is worthy and able and authorized to take this book that's sealed, things that have been preserved in here, things that the content of which is waiting a specific time. Jesus is the only one who is authorized to do that as far as this book is concerned. When it comes to this book, there is only one mechanism alone. Only one that has the right, the ability to take this book, unroll it, loose the hydrogen bonds, loose the seals, and then perform or fulfill. And wait a minute, I got to go back. There was something that I missed here in Luke chapter 4. Okay? I got to show you this, because this is what DNA expression is. Luke chapter 4. He goes in, they give him the book, right? And he opens it up and he reads a portion of it. Let's read verse 17 again. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So now, he reads this, and then the Bible says in verse 20, and he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. The minister is the one who is holding the book. He preserves it. Jesus is the one who takes the book, opens it up, breaks the seals, reads a portion of it, and says, "This day," in verse 21, "is this scripture," not the whole book of Isaiah, "but this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Do you know what he did? Jesus acted out gene expression. Because I want to show you something. Hold your place there and look. I hope you have a Bible, because I want you to see this. Turn to Isaiah. You've got to lick your fingers for this, okay? Isaiah chapter 61, okay? Isaiah chapter 61. And we go back here to Luke, okay? And we see that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And if you go to Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek." And then he says, "Preach the gospel to the poor." So we know gospel means good tidings. It's another way of saying the same thing. Now I want you to notice verse 19 of Luke chapter 4, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And there's a period there. And at that point right there, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," at that point, Jesus closed the book. Okay? He stopped right there. I want you to go back to Isaiah 61. He says in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Notice there's a comma there, not a period. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. That part of this scripture, this prophecy, was not expressed, was not even read at that time. And Jesus, upon reading and finishing to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, he closed the book. And then he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he didn't read the whole book of Isaiah and say, we're going to do this whole thing all at once. He didn't even read all of Isaiah 61. He didn't even read all of verse 2. He stopped midway verse 2, closed the book and said, we're going to do this part right now here. Because there is one and one thing only in your DNA that is allowed to fulfill the prophecy that's in DNA. Remember, you've got fingernail material written and prophesied in this book. And it was written in there from the day you were born. But it didn't show up until you started forming fingers. You can't have fingernails without fingers to put them on, right? So you got to form the fingers first, and then the cells started making the little things that make, the little building blocks that make fingernail material. Okay? And when you have a fingernail, you don't have like a leg growing out of it, right? And I'm saying that for a reason. Is that DNA expression is usually very specific. The mechanism in your body that has the right to open up, loose the seals, fulfill what's here, express that gene, and then close it all back up again. The one thing is a mechanism called RNA polymerase. Polymerase. All right? Polymerase. There's only one thing in your whole body that can do that. RNA polymerase is Jesus. It has, and what it does is it finds a certain place because your body is saying, hey, he clipped his fingernails. We need to grow some fingernail material so he can scratch his wrist or his, you know, his back or, you know, scratch his wife's back or whatever. We need some fingernail material. So the RNA polymerase starts scanning the book. And it stops. It finds a stop codon and it finds a start codon. And all of a sudden now it knows, oh, right here. This is where the blueprint and the recipe for making fingernail material is. So at that point, just like Jesus took the book, he didn't read the whole thing. He found a certain place, Isaiah 61. The RNA polymerase, and I want to explain this in further detail later on. RNA polymerase opens the book, it unrolls it, it breaks those hydrogen bonds, it copies, it transcribes a portion of that, it reads it out loud, just like Jesus did, and then he says, here's your fingernail material, now we're going to make fingernails. Now the prophecy has come to pass. It's been fulfilled. Just like Jesus did. But if you go back at Isaiah 61, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, the part about God's vengeance was not for this time right here. It wasn't for then. It's for a later time. When Jesus comes again, he's going to bring the vengeance of Almighty God. That part of Isaiah 61 is going to be fulfilled in the future. Who's going to fulfill it? Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one who is authorized to both open the book, loose the seals, and then fulfill what's written in here. Very, very, very good teaching for both laymen and pastors. Pastor, this is what God dealt with me about. Mike, it's not up to you to make the church what I want it to be. It's not up to you to add the members. It's not up to you to do all the things that need to be done in the church. Mike, that's my job. I'm the one who does that. I'm just going to speak it through you. And pastors, learn this lesson. You're not the one changing people's lives. You're not the one building the church. It's not your words that are having the effect on people. that last from generation to generation. Only God does that. It's God's word. He's the one that brings it. He's the one that opens. When you preach, preachers, if God does not open that book, you're going to have you're going to have an impossible time reaching anybody. God is the only one who can open up the book for us as we study. God is the only one who can loose the seals. God is the only one who can take this word, put it in people's hearts, and make it work. God is the only one who can do that. We can't do that. We're not authorized. We're too sinful. Jesus is the only one who has the ability to do that. Just like RNA polymerase in your DNA. It breaks the seals, opens the book, speaks it forth. That's a copy of it. It's called RNA transcription. Makes it happen. See, I've known pastors that try to make their people live a certain lifestyle. You know what happens when that pastor leaves or he dies or whatever? They go right back to the old lifestyle. You know why? Because God didn't do it. When God does it, it's permanent. Pastors, you want God to do things in your church? Let God do it. You preach the book. You preach the words here. And let God do the work. Because He'll do it better than you. All right? I've had a lot of fun today. It didn't get very far. But we learned something. We learned how God fulfills prophecy here. We learned how God fulfills prophecy here. It's the same mechanism. It's the same way. Go back and read Luke chapter 4 again. You'll just go, that is so cool. Now read the four Gospels. Read Paul's letters. All of those places where it says, and the prophet said this, and this was fulfilled when the prophet said this. What you're seeing is gene expression coming to pass. David is the one who wrote down in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They pierced my hands and feet. That was already prophesied 1,000 years before Jesus ever came. 1,000 years later, sure enough, Jesus on the cross, He speaks the words and they pierced His hands and feet. That's gene expression in your DNA. That's the genes making the stuff for your body that needs to be done. Man, I love this. I am enjoying this and I hope that you are enjoying it too. I've still got things that God showed me a few weeks ago I have not even gotten to yet. And it has to do with what happens before the genes can be expressed here, before what's written in here can come to reality. There's something that has to go before the RNA polymerase. You just wait for that one, all right? God bless you. You're the reason why we do what we do here. Keep us in your prayers. Support us if you can. May the Lord bless you in this new year, 2017. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.